Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective, featuring the friars from St. Patrick Church in Columbus. And now, Dominican Dimensions.
Welcome to the Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Stephen Alcott, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick Parish here in Columbus. Today I'm joined in the studio by Father Raymond Snyder. Let's begin together with a prayer to Our Lady. Hail Mary, full of grace,
the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we're going to take up the topic of discipline, especially self-discipline. And we'll start with a quote from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 9, verses 24 and following. Do you not know that the runners in the stadium all run in the race, but only one wins the prize? Run so as to win. Every athlete exercises discipline in every way. They do it to win a perishable crown, but we an imperishable one. Thus, I do not run aimlessly. I do not fight as if I were shadow boxing. No, I drive my body and train it, for fear that, after having preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. No one could blame St. Paul for being lazy. He's a very driven man, even before he converted to become a follower of Christ. He was very zealous in following the Judaism of his youth. Of his young manhood, and when he became a follower of Christ on the road to Damascus, he threw his whole self into it. He disciplined himself. He gave up many things so that he might pursue Christ, so that he might run that race, so that he might find his way to Christ forever and bring many people with him. So today we're discussing discipline. What does it mean for us as Christians to discipline ourselves? How do we fulfill what St. Paul says to exercise discipline like an athlete so that we can win the imperishable crown? So Father Raymond, what's one kind of discipline that you think is helpful?
Well, this is, of course, discipline. In general, you might say the discipline of penance in the Christian life is important. Penance we associate especially with the forgiveness of sins, taking on suffering voluntarily, depriving ourselves of certain good things voluntarily, so as to make atonement for our sins, but also to exercise some self-discipline and to grow in that. You know, we think of Lent as the time where the church especially calls us to fasting and abstinence. But the Christian life is meant to have, that's more just kind of like on the minimum side of things. The Christian life as a whole is meant to have elements of discipline. And really the sky's the limit. And we see this with some of the great saints, that they were also great ascetics. That word ascesis means a spiritual self-discipline. You know, we think of concrete practices like fasting, not eating or eating much less on a given day. But there's all sorts of things, and I think that the first one has to be the way in which we surrender our time to the Lord in prayer. You know, it's easy to get carried away, actually. It's easy for beginners, let's say, in the spiritual life, or maybe zealous converts to want to do too much too soon. And that first discipline that the Lord asks of us is, well, simply to spend time with him each day. And there is a, you know, we might say, well, that doesn't sound like much of a discipline. It's just, you know, being quiet and listening to God or talking to God. Actually, it's a great discipline, and one of the most difficult to maintain a life of prayer. And you think about it, making sure we even have a regular appointment with the Lord, you know, praying in the morning, you know, when the Lord can shape our hearts. It can equip us with the graces we need for that day. It's so important. You know, of course, we want to pray without ceasing and pray at all times, but I think in general, it's a good practice to let's say weight the prayers we say to give an extra weight to the morning. And that means, you know, getting up earlier, you know, not just getting up at the time that will allow us to take a shower, to eat breakfast, to get ready and get on the way, but to actually wake up earlier in view of prayer. It's a way of keeping vigil with the Lord. We know, of course, actually, that's one of the questions, oddly enough, people ask religious. I know you've probably gotten that question before, right? Well, what time do you wake up in the morning? You know? Or people might remember stories of religious sisters, you know, and learning that they wake up so early in the morning because they have, especially like the teaching sisters, to wake up early, to say their prayers, to get on the way. But there's a great deal of discipline just to be found in prayer. So that's where I would start.
Mm-hmm. Right. To surrender your time to God, to make time in your life for Him. And that's a great principle of all kinds of discipline and penance, is that you could describe penance and discipline as sort of making room, carving out space, you know, in your life, in your day, not for the sake of misery, but for the sake of making room for something that's truly great, something that will bring you life and through you bring life to others. Yes, and prayer is, yes, the first. I think that's the most important of all disciplines, that we would surrender that time to the Lord. I mean, Christ Himself gave us that example. We're told in the Gospels that He would pray. Sometimes He would pray in a place by Himself. He would pray all night. He prayed the night before He named His 12 apostles. He prayed the night before He died on the cross. And sometimes He would invite others with Him to pray. One of the Gospels speaks about the Transfiguration as a time when He went to the top of the mountain to pray. And He invited three of His disciples. He invited three of His disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray with Him. It was important to Him to make that time for His Father, even though He is God Himself, even though He is the Son, to make room. So another form of discipline, another form of penance is fasting. And we could think of fasting in terms of abstaining from certain foods or certain amounts of food or drink. We could also think of fasting as giving up, you know, media or other things in our life. But again, for the sake of putting something else in there that will really help us to live, to draw life from God. And all of these kinds of discipline are ways in which we're in a sense conditioning ourselves. We're conditioning ourselves for the race, for the, as St. Paul said, he doesn't just shadow box. He doesn't deprive himself just, you know, for no good reason. He deprives himself because he's moving in a certain direction. He's aiming for that crown, not of perishable leaves, but that crown of eternal gladness with Christ. Father Raymond, I was mentioning recently that I went to a talk by Father Dr. Ray Guarendi, who's a well-known Catholic psychologist, and he was speaking about discipline, you know, in this case of children. And he said that if you don't discipline your children, you know, yourself, someone else will. Life will discipline them, you know, their landlord will discipline them when they don't pay their rent, you know, a judge may discipline them, you know. So in a sense, it got me to thinking, you know, that just as discipline is important for children, you know, by their parents, and if they're not disciplined, then in a way, they will be disciplined one way or another. And so maybe that would apply also to our own self-discipline of prayer and fasting, of almsgiving, of shaping our life in such a way that that we are able to run that race.
I think one of the most beautiful passages in the scriptures about discipline is towards the end of the letter to the Hebrews, when, you know, the author says, "What God disciplines us in various ways, right?
Mm-hmm.
Through the trials we experience, through the sufferings we endure, through the demands that are made of us. But it's just that it's out of love. It's out of a fatherly love for us. You know, what father who loves a son wouldn't discipline him?
Right.
Basically, the letter to the Hebrews says, you know, because of the potential and the great goal he has in mind for us of holiness and the kingdom of God. What you were saying about fasting made me think just it's something we even see in that same passage from St. Paul, that there's this beautiful connection between things that apply to our bodily life, the needs of our body, our health, our physical condition, and the health of our soul. And so St. Paul's saying, well, just as an athlete does this routine of discipline in order to strengthen their body, so too, you know, we should strengthen our souls and live a life of virtue. We could say the same of fasting. Well, what's fasting all about? Well, it creates a kind of hunger in us, literally, you know, and that is a way to intensify our prayer, to even expand our prayer and express it in a more bodily form, you know. So, for example, you know, we kneel when we pray to make our prayers more intense, to engage ourselves fully in the act of prayer. Well, fasting is like a kind of long-term prayer, you know, and when someone is fasting, let's say it's Ash Wednesday or Good Friday, let's say it's maybe just a practice they undertake every Friday or every Wednesday. When we fast, even when we just do something as simple as not snack between meals, you know, when we do something like that, then we're confronted with moments where we are hungry and we think, well, I'm hungry. And the idea is in the midst of that to say, ah, but this is added to my prayer, you know, this is to strengthen the intensity of my prayer. This is also to make me hungry for God, hungry for the things of God. So hunger applies in a, you know, because it's an appetite, literally appetite. When we say appetite, it helps us to see that, you know, ultimately there's a deep hunger for God within all of us, and we can sort of direct ourselves more and more to the Lord through these practices of self-discipline.
And to hunger for God, to feel that hunger is also to recognize that we don't have to immediately satisfy that hunger with the first thing that we have an urge for or an impulse for. Which is an important part of discipline as well. If I accustom myself, maybe you could call it an anti-discipline, to just, you know, grabbing whatever I feel like first, if I'm hungry for something, you know, often that might be something that isn't good for me. And I'm in a sense, I'm conditioning myself in a bad way that I don't really have the power to hunger for the right things, or I don't have the ability to turn away from those things that will prevent me from running that race. And so fasting can really help me discipline myself so that I can say no sometimes to things for the sake of a greater good. We might think, what if I never ever fasted? You know, what if I never ever gave up anything? It would be very difficult, almost seemingly impossible, to put something off, you know, for the sake of something greater. I would be, in a sense, tied, enslaved to whatever happened to be in front of me.
So I guess what you're saying is that discipline, you know, the virtue we cultivate in, let's say, doing one particular discipline actually can spill over and help the rest of our lives, or help our... actually help us cultivate virtues in other areas of our life. So maybe something as, you know, seemingly food related as fasting, you know, could actually help us develop patience or develop the generosity with others, or help us get rid of bad habits or vices.
Or in a sense become more free, you know, more free for the good rather than... you know, just as with prayer, you know, inevitably, you know, one comes to a point in one's day when, well, I think I should pray, but I want to do this first, or I really want to look up this thing, you know, in the news, or follow up on this email or something like that. But you know what, that ability to say in the moment, well, as I could do that, but you know, I don't have to do that. I can choose to simply give this time to God first, you know, and that little ability to do that is a little bit more freedom. And whenever we do that, that freedom grows. You're listening to the Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Stephen Alcott, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick Parish in Columbus. I'm joined in the studio by Father Raymond Snyder, and we've been discussing self-discipline and penance in the Christian life, especially how penance such as prayer and fasting can make you more free, can make you more able to be freed for the good, to help you more easily make room in your life for those things that are truly great, and not be bound to the lesser things.
You know, since this is the Dominican Dimensions, I feel like we should contribute our Dominican approach to discipline and what that means for our own religious life. There's a line that stands out for me in our constitutions. I'm sure you've thought about it at length before, but that it says that friars are called even more than the rest of the faithful to exercise discipline, and to do penance. So it's just recognizing that penance is a part of, well, the Christian life in general, but that our religious life imposes on us the obligation to do yet more. Mm-hmm. And again, for the sake of the greater good, for the sake of growing in holiness, but also for the sake of our preaching. You know, mm-hmm. It's significant that, you know, when people say, oh, well, I love the way Dominicans preach, or there's something special about it, and saying, well, there's a whole lot of things behind that. Part of it is the prayers of our 3,000 contemplative nuns, you know. Part of it right. is... You know, the formation we're blessed to have, and you know, St. Thomas Aquinas is a special guide in theology, but at the bottom of it all, we point to the life of prayer and penance, religious observance, we also call it. So we see sort of naturally the effects of penance kind of spilling over. But okay, I feel like we should be more practical for the people of God and mm-hmm. and say, well, okay, I know that there's prayer and penance in Lent, you know, but what do I do year round? Like, it just seems like it's a big and general topic. How would you advise someone, Father Stephen, to consider exercising more discipline in their lives, mm-hmm. or how would you start? No,
I think it's good to start. From the most important things you already do, to realize that penance and discipline is always ordered toward the greatest things, the most important things in your life. One of the most important things, I mean, the most important things we do in an average week, if you're a Catholic person, is to go to Mass, participate in the Mass, and so that, you know, to make room in your life to prepare for Mass, to make room in your life just to come a little bit early or stay a little bit late, you know, to prepare your soul, your mind, your heart, you know, to receive Christ, his word, and his body and blood, you know, and then to thank him for that afterwards, you know, to make that time, to maybe make time to look at the readings ahead of time, if possible, to reflect on it or talk about it just with someone afterwards, you know, to see what has God told you and how can you take that to heart, as Our Lady did, you know, as she pondered the events of her son, as we read about in the Gospel. So to think of that, I mean, I think for a layperson, their family, you know, or those that they live with are a great importance as well. I know as Dominicans, we live a community life. We live in common, which can be very good, but it has a penance of its own sometimes. And so it's true in families. You know, living in a community of persons can be wonderful, but it can also be trying. But that's a way of penance as well, you know, in a way that's a form of almsgiving in the most local level, to find something to do for that this other person, or even to do something you have to do without complaining, or to do something that will, whether it's emptying the dishwasher, even though you've done it the last five times in a row, or whether it's, you know, helping someone with something that, you know, maybe they could do themselves if they were really had their life together, you know, but to do that out of charity, not in an enabling way, but that's a form of discipline and penance as well. But to think about, I guess, in short, how can an average, you know, person, a layperson, embrace discipline in their life is just to think about what are your greatest goods, you know, to the extent that you know it. Why has God put you on earth? Where are you going? What are the greatest goods? And what are those things that that will help you to achieve those greatest goods? And penance is one of the ways we do that. We make room for those things.
So we almost need to begin with a fair amount of self-knowledge or humility to mm-hmm. say, okay, what is the Lord actually calling me to? First of all, what's my vocation? What am I? What's my situation or state in life? And then what are the virtues? I think this comes naturally after someone goes to confession or examines their conscience. They say, oh, well, I found that I haven't been making time for prayer. Okay, well, that'll be one. That could be mm-hmm. one thing to really grow in. Or I've found myself just watching too much TV, you know, mm-hmm. or looking at social media just too much. And that's opening up a whole, you know, network of problems. Or you might say just becomes its own distraction for whatever reason. I think that person can then say, well, what if I limited myself to, you know, only one movie a week or something like that, that begins to be an action of discipline. You know, I when people are talking about Lent and giving up things for Lent, I really like to recommend that people consider doing something small from each of the different areas mm-hmm. of, say, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And, of course, understanding almsgiving not just as giving money to the poor, to charitable works, but actually doing charitable works. Like, almsgiving could really cover any of the works of mercy, if we're thinking about it. And you mentioned a whole bunch of very good ones for those living a family life. So I think it's nice to for people just to consider that and to be deliberate about it. You know, again, these are things that the Lord puts on our hearts, and they're personal, they're individual, but so they're not binding under pain of sin the way that, let's say, the church's fasting and abstinence laws are. But it's good for folks just to know that, okay, I understand I have this problem or this need, and here's one way in which I'm beginning to remedy that with God's help. Mm-hmm. You know, people, we want people to know they have so many resources at their disposal, not only the many gifts and graces of the Lord who blesses us, especially through the sacraments, but also, you know, one of the great things, it sounds kind of funny to say it this way, one of the great things we learn from our sins is our weaknesses, you know. Mm-hmm. The Lord fills us with sorrow and a little bit of self-knowledge in the act of coming to confession. It's important to act on that, you know. God gave us our human prudence to be able to form, well, a little bit of our own program for self-discipline.
right. Yes. I mean, self-knowledge. Yeah, that's where it starts, to know where we're going. You know, what is that crown toward which we're running? You know, we're not just shadow boxing, we're going in a particular direction. And what are the things that we need to do to help us on this path, to help us run the race? And we learn that sometimes by our failures, but we also learn not just from those occasions of sin, those things that make us weaker, but those occasions of strength, those things that make us stronger in our life. And the examination of conscience, which is a great and classic practice. Some people do it at the end of the day, just as, you know, the beginning of the day is a wonderful time to take some time in prayer to offer your day to God, to invite God into your day. The end of the day can be a good day, a good time of the day to look back. What are those things in my day today that made me weaker, that I realize I really could do with a little less of? But then what are those things that made me stronger? Is there a relationship in my life that someone who lifted me up, who when I spend time with this person, I really do tend to be my better self? You know, what are those things in my life that when they're in there or when I'm doing them, I do tend not to have as much room in my head for the wrong things. But that examination at the end of each day is a way of that humble self-knowledge to recognize where we are and what we need to do. You know, like in a sense, it's like being your own. Sometimes you have to be your own coach, you know. An athlete needs a coach or a trainer or a mentor. But just asking God in humility of heart to show us the way, to show us what we can do without, and what are those things that we can take on more of so that we can truly find our way to Him.
People often, you know, are saying, well, how do I know this inspiration is from the Holy Spirit? Or how do I know that this is what God wants for me? And I think when we're talking about the stuff we're talking about, just, you know, personal practices that are a part of our living, our Christian life, I think the Holy Spirit tends to repeat Himself, you know. Mm-hmm. It might be a good idea to resolve to do a certain discipline or to, you know, undertake a form of penance when it's an answer to, well, that thing that the Lord is always kind of laying on our heart again and again. Mm-hmm. So I think the Holy Spirit tends to repeat Himself when it comes to these matters.
Right.
And that's one of the signs that it's from Him, you know.
Thank you for joining us today for the Dominican Dimensions. My name is Father Stephen Alcott, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick Parish in Columbus. I've been joined in the studio today by Father Raymond Snyder. Let's end now in our prayer to St. Dominic. O light of the Church,
teacher of truth, rose of patience, ivory of chastity, freely you have poured forth the waters of wisdom, preacher of grace, unite us with the blessed. Amen.